Hey guys, this is Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor doing a parking lot podcast. It's really a drive home podcast, but I'm in the parking lot. I just got out of the post office, so I thought we'd do an unboxing. It's just one this time. And Matt Jackson has already expressed he hopes my book is smashed and dented and pretty much in generally jacked up because he likes hearing me get all upset. So it seems like a lot of people do. Bastard. All right, guys. So what I did first off, I ordered this on Amazon and it's the X1 Isle of Dread. I got it for $38. I waited for it to go lower. I thought, all right, the deal seems like it's the lowest it's going to go. And then yesterday I see it went down to 27. I'm like, motherfucker. So hey, I guess it happens. I thought I waited long enough. No, I waited a week. I needed to wait another week. I ordered this like 10 days ago, and I finally got it today. Because I did one of those things where if you don't do the two-day shipping, they'll give you $1 off your, like a, what is it called? A virtual or downloadable content. And I buy TV shows off there every once in a while. So I was like, oh, yeah, I can wait. God, I got so impatient. It was like only like 9 days, but you'd think it would have been 2 years. I kept on seeing pictures of this book everywhere. And I'm like, oh, where's mine? I saw Dyson got his yesterday. But like I said, then what kind of jerked my chain too was now it's $11 less than what it was. I want to send this damn thing back and reorder it, but I'm not going to. Still makes me mad, though. That's 11 bucks, man. All right, let's see. Okay, so I'm going to open it up. Let's see here, guys. Some of you guys' favorite part where I struggle with the packaging. I can't use a knife on this one. Okay, it's got perforated edges, but it's not really perforating very well. All right. So this is the Isle of Dread, guys. Yep, they got it right. Phone fell down. Let's see this puppy. All right. Boy, it looks nice, guys. My bottom right-hand corner is a bit smashed. Ugh, but I don't like it, but considering some of the other ones I got, it looks real nice, guys. For those of you who don't know X1 that well, the Isle of Dread. Let's see. I came to Isle of Dread. Okay, back in the day when pretty much there were no RPG stores, Magic the Gathering stores. There was hobby shops. There was, you know, like the train and airplane ones. And that's where you'd find D&D, at least around in this area. And we had this called State Street Hobby Shop. And Betty, who ran it, she had a small selection of Dungeons and Dragons stuff kind of across the register. She had a few miniatures. She had a few adventure modules and whatever, because there wasn't a lot out back then. This is back in like the 1979, 1980, and you know, she didn't know what to order, and we didn't know what was out there. We had no idea. There was no internet. So basically, when new stuff showed up, I was like, whoa. Well, you know, the modules that we would see all the time are the monochrome modules of S1, Tomb of Horrors, and C1, and then I can't remember what was the other one we'd always see. I want to say it was one of the Ds, but for some reason I'm thinking it was D2. We'd always see D2 in the things. And then all of a sudden we went to the gaming store, and it was like, whoa, you know, we saw A1 and X1 were in there. They got them at the same time. I can't remember what year. Let me see what year this came out. 1980. So we were the group of us that would always go there. We went there and it's like, holy shit, full colored covered modules. And we were all just like, holy crap, this is fantastic. I guess it was like kids in the old days when the black and white TV went to color and how amazing it was. And that's kind of what we were. I was just like the bright blue color of X1 and the bright green color of A1. And oh, it was so tough because like none of us had money. We none of us had jack shit. Back then, I think modules were like $5 or $5.50, if I remember correctly. Now I'm dropping $50 on modules. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I don't think it says it there, but I want to say the modules, the adventure modules, were going for like $5. It doesn't say on here. I see, looking at the old cover. So we really had to plan and strategize or wait for a birthday or something like that to be able to buy one. So what me and my buddy did, and I'm probably talked about this before, me and my next door neighbor, we split up what we would buy so we could kind of cover stuff and we kind of shared things. So he went through more of the basic stuff. He's the one who bought the B series, he bought the X series, and then I bought the advanced Dungeons and Dragons stuff. Like, so it would have been S1 and the A series, the Slaver Lords. And that way we could kind of cover both ends and not have to spend twice as much money to try to get everything. So I ended up getting A1. But Isle of Dread, what's so cool about it, and I sure know it's done to death, is it was like kind of your first hex crawl in a way, for me anyways, that was out there. We adventured in it. I mean, what was really cool about it at the time, I think, was it had dinosaurs. I mean, oh my gosh, you had Dungeons and Dragons and then you add dinosaurs to it? Are you kidding me? Yeah, we're all over that shit. My God. I'm just kind of looking through it now. It looks nice. It looks better than B1, I think. There's different covers for it now, the orange cover, but nothing will replace my thrill of seeing that the blue cover for the first time. It's like it was just like, did I do that okay? That was like angel singing, I guess. The copy of this one looks much cleaner than the B series ones, because the B series ones just look like photocopied ones. Yeah, it looks real nice. Looks real nice. Lots of maps in here. But it was an interesting concept, though, because now you were taking the adventurers out of the dungeon. Because before, yeah, we were just tromping around in corridors. You had a finite space. You had walls and ceilings to contain the action. So when you went into this room, every cube was defined by, you know, the contents, where now you're taking an entire island and your vision, not, you know, you can't see through walls in the dungeon, but when you're in the wilderness, you can see a dinosaur coming at you from a while away. So it took a whole different type of technique to GM an adventure like this. And it wasn't easy, because I'll tell you what, it was a tough module. I think the few times that we ran it, I never ran it because my friend had it, and like I said, I was mainly the player. I think the one time it was very difficult because we got a like rolled an encounter. I don't know if it's still on here. Let me see this. I mean, the only thing that just a shame is, like, I wish they just ignore. Okay, they do acknowledge that TSR was on there, because I hate that. Because I think somebody told me somewhere it read that it was, you know, Wizards of the Coast, First Wilderness, written for, you know, Wizards of the Coast. I'm like, oh, God. And I think my example was, yeah, it drives you nuts. It's like back in the day when I was young and everybody thought Run DMC had written Walk This Way. And it's just like, oh, jeez, oh, man. I'm looking for the random tables right now, you guys. So there's monster tables, wilderness wandering tables, and then monster tables. And if I remember it, because there's dinosaurs, and we got like snuck attacked by a freaking dinosaur, like a big one. And I'm for some reason I'm thinking it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't see one on here. Yes, they do. There it is. There it is. Table 3, 90 to 94, Tyrannosaurus Rex. So somehow we got stealth attack surprised by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Not sure how that happened. But it was just the inexperience of running that kind of game. I mean, it's a completely different set of skills and ways to do things. I don't know if there was a true answer to it, because every time we played it, it was a little bit more. Or I shouldn't say a little bit more. It was just difficult to get that concept down. I know the GMs had trouble with it. They put it away, bring it back out. And the players, I know I was frustrated because I kept on trying to see things, but the GM would always say, well, you can't see it because of the trees. And I was like, well, is there a high spot or can I climb the tree? But they just tried to eliminate that option so I couldn't see beyond where I was, which I don't know. I didn't like. I thought, I'm outside. Why wouldn't I be able to see? Is there a certain type of elevation? Can I go for a hill or whatever? And every time I tried to do that, there would be something in the tree that would kill me, or which could happen. I understand that, but there's a point where you just have to let the players play and try to roll with it. I thought, not back then though. The GM was still trying to use those skills he did for a dungeon crawl, and they just don't work the same as a hex crawl. And one of the other things that was difficult for GMs, especially for, you know, we're talking about when it was brand new, you didn't have all these books, and actually a lot of people didn't know different people. There was no central powwow place where you go talk about games. You basically, you knew your inner circle and you went into some one of the basements and you played. It wasn't always basement. I just use that example. But there was no like group think. You know, you didn't get together and try to talk about how we could improve this, how we should do this. Basically, it ended up in arguments a lot of times. I never got involved in the arguments. I was just like, oh man, I just want to play. Let's do this. Even if he doesn't want me to climb the tree, fine. I'll just, you know, make sure when I'm sneaking around the jungle to listen for Tyrannosaurus rexes or something like that. You know, can I take a round to listen for dinosaurs, Alex, please, for one? But it was an exciting time when it came out. It really did change the way we played. It made us think beyond the dungeons, because I mean, before we were just playing episodal stuff. You grab a character, you grab a dungeon, and you would just go play for the day or for a few hours and have some pizza and that. There was not a lot of ongoing things. But this one this is not an adventure you're going to complete in a day or two. This one's going to require some time, you know, if you live long enough. And but once you got a hold of it, and I don't remember where it really came into play, because later on down the line, years went by, and I picked up the module. Now, like I said, I didn't have the module for a long time because my neighbor had it. Well, I ended up, I think somebody gave it to me, actually. Like, their cover was all ripped. Like, it split down the middle. And then some of the pages were jacked up on the inside, like, torn from the staple, which offended me as a person. But I took it anyways, so I kind of salvaged it, medicked it as much as I could. But I used it, and since it was a crap copy, it was a lot of fun because I could write in it, and I didn't feel bad about defiling it, because as far as I was concerned, you know, there was no longer a virgin, so I didn't have to feel bad about it. So it allowed me to kind of take a look at the overall picture of it, and that was tough because when you're thinking of dungeons, all you have to do is worry about the next room. That, you know, we didn't think about, well, if you make battle noises in this room, why wouldn't the creatures in the other room come in and beat you up? Everything was static until you opened up that door. It's like everything was frozen in time. And then when the players open the door, then you push the little button and everything starts to animate like a little kid's thing. This one wasn't like this. Now, like I said, this one forced you to do that, to go beyond that, because the Tyrannosaurus Rex isn't going to just kind of stand around and wait for somebody to attack him. He's going to be hunting and eating and roaring and stomping around and making things tremble. So when I did an overlook of the whole thing, I added my own notes into it. And I think that was the very first time I did that, where I kind of put in situational encounters. And I like I said, I pretty much went verbatim for the adventures. But this time, I kind of, like if the adventures do this, maybe this will happen, or maybe, you know, a little bit of a flow chart, if you will, of what was presented to me and what could possibly happen. So that's all I got, guys. Thanks for listening to my unboxing and my blabbering on of going from Drungeon Carl to Hex Crawl. It was, X1 is an important piece to that. You know, to me, it was something different. It was a different way to, different perspective to look at adventuring and how it could be done. And I don't think its importance can be, you know, said enough, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the words are. I'm kind of blabbering now. So, but thank you guys for listening. I got game tonight. Really looking forward to it. I got to do some little bit of work on some Roll20 things. Kind of did this new thing for Roll20 for the town. Going to try it out on the guy, see how they like it. Really, I don't see how they can. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow a little bit after game, because I'm trying a few things that are a little bit different than the ordinary, just to see how it works out and to provide as much information as possible without interfering with the players, if that makes sense. I don't know if that does, but like I said, I'll talk about it more tomorrow. So I'm kind of excited. We're going to get the full crew tonight. Sounds like everybody's jazzed up. We got Matt playing the Holy Hobbit. You got Joe playing the Street Mage. You got Alex playing the Circus Animal Trainer Fighter. You got Jason playing the Barbarian Elf guy from the North. And then you also have Eric playing a War Priest. Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. All right, guys. Take care. Roll better than me, and we will talk soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.